Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's cold outside, but it's warm in here. And I don't just mean the temperature. It's good to be with brothers and sisters enjoying sweet fellowship. It's good to recount, as we have just done, that the Lord himself is our strength. He's the one that we're trusting. It's good. It's good to be together. You know, we've just finished a series. We just came out of a series, many of you will recall, through November and December, that I called Putting Holy Back in the Holidays, trying to keep our eyes on Christ. And just last week, we finished up that series, looking back and looking forward. And this week, we're going to look back and look forward again. But don't worry, I'm not going to do what I told you about last week. I'm not going to preach the same sermon this week that I did last week. Or, well, maybe you say, well, we could get a nap. We've already got credit for that one. But we're going to be looking at some different scriptures. Last week, we were looking at James chapter 1 and the idea of how we want to not forget what the Lord has done in us through his word in the past year. We want to build on that. We don't want to be forgetful hearers. We want to be effectual doers of God's word. That's what we looked at last week. This week, we're going to look at something a little different. I'm reminded, there's a story. You guys know I love J. Vernon McGee. He's an old Texas boy. The Lord used him out in California for many, many years. He was a part of a church out there called Church of the Open Door, and he told the story of a Rose Bowl parade, a Tournament of Roses parade back before the Second World War. And he was there at this parade there in Pasadena. And on this particular New Year's Day in the Tournament of Roses parade, there's this beautiful float that suddenly came to a screeching halt. It had run out of gas, interestingly enough, and it was just stuck there holding up the whole parade until someone could go run and get a can of gas to get this float back moving again. So it's kind of odd, kind of amusing that this float was representing Standard Oil Company. Now, many of you say, I don't know what Standard Oil Company is, but many of you will remember that Standard Oil, which went by S.O. and became S.O., and that became Exxon, which became Exxon Mobil and Chevron. Standard Oil Company, it's a gas company. They make gasoline. And so the irony was not lost on too many that here you get this gasoline company float that ran out of gas and was stuck right there in the middle of the parade. And so the way J. Vernon McGee tells it, he talks about that irony, but he talks about how the dangers that we as followers of Jesus is that we as Christians can be a little bit like that float, that Standard Oil Company float. We're here, we've got, as followers of Jesus, we've been brought into a new relationship with the God of all power, the Almighty, the all-powerful God, and yet sometimes we can get stuck. It's like we can run out of gas, and here we are. We work for the gas company, and yet we can run out of gas ourselves. So where I want us to go today is to look back at 2017 and to look forward at the year that we've just begun and to say, Lord, how do you want us to not be stuck? How do you want to keep us moving? And not just moving in a direction, not in just some direction, but in the right direction, which is growing in Jesus Christ, which means greater faith and trusting myself to him more. I just shared in a Sunday school class with fellows, I have found myself praying along with John the Baptizer there in John 3, chapter 3, verse 30, more and more and more in the past several weeks. Lord, I need to decrease, and I want you to increase. I want you to increase in my life, and I need to decrease. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at some scriptures about looking backward and looking forward and say, Lord, how do you want to work in my life? I don't want to be stuck. Lord, I want you moving me in the right direction, in greater faith, in greater love, in greater grace in Jesus Christ, both receiving and giving. And so that's where we're headed today. We don't want to be like that float and come to a sputtering halt, stuck, because even though we have access to all the power in the universe, sometimes that can get a little awry and we can run out of gas. So let's pray. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Lord, we're looking to you because you're God and we're not. Because you being all powerful, God, you're the God of people that are in desperate need of your life-giving and life-changing power. Lord, not just at a spot in time. Lord, not just to take us from death to life in a moment. Lord, we're glad you do that. But Lord, we need you. We need your power working in us, changing us, making us more like you, moment by moment. Lord, so we pray as we walk through these scriptures now, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work. Lord, we pray that you would increase and that we would decrease. Lord, we've got all of you we're ever going to get, but we pray you'd get more of us. Lord, would you help us to view 2017 rightly and help us to view 2018 rightly. Lord, give us your eyes, your perspective, Lord, and please increase our faith. Lord, we agree with that man there in Mark chapter 9. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Lord, we love you. But Lord, we're so thankful that you love us. If you didn't love us, we'd be lost. We thank you and we come to you in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's really just two ideas for us this morning from the scriptures. We're going to look at two ideas, looking back and casting off sin. Looking back at 2017, casting off sin and finding real forgiveness, dwelling in forgiveness, receiving forgiveness, giving forgiveness. And then we'll talk about the idea of looking forward. We'll get there in a few minutes. So first, just to think about it, you know, no matter how we think of our 2017, as you think about your 2017, it may have been you may view it as a good year, or you may view it as a bad year. You may view it with sorrow, you may view it with joy, you know, you may view it as some combination of those two. I would guess that most of us see both good and hard and struggle and easy in any given year. You may be glad that you get to experience 2017, or you may be glad 2017 is done. But no matter what, God doesn't want you to stay stuck in 2017, whether it was good or whether it was bad. He didn't want you to stay stuck there like that float. He wants us to view 2017 through his eyes, with his perspective. I get several different I call them Christian ministry emails, you know, stuff about preaching and teaching and, you know, leadership and all kinds of stuff. And I was reading this one, and I couldn't even find it. So I don't know if it was an email I got, or then I got hooked up to another website or something. But anyway, I was reading this, somebody's writing, and it was a great call to me. And I was encouraged to take stock of 2017. And it was a good call. It was a good encouragement to me to consider 2017. And in this particular writing, it talked about given attention to things in my life that could hold me back. To give attention to things in my life that could trip me up. Right? We've just come out of 1 year, and now we've just begun. We're a week into this new year. And this is a great encouragement to me. It encouraged me to consider habitual struggles and sinful choices, but not just overtly sinful things, even simply things that could hold me back from experiencing and living the life that Jesus has for me. In other words, it doesn't have to be an openly sinful thing. You know, there are lots of good things that if I give myself to those things, it's still not Jesus. It's still not me resting in him. And I can find even good things, or things that are not sinful can still take me away from Christ, from following him closely, and from being able to live the life that he's got for me in 2018. And I'll tell you, the Lord, as I was reading this email, it was very clear to me. I mean, the Lord put his finger on an area in my life and said, Mike, let that go. It wasn't a sinful area. It's just an area where he said, you know what? That's going to distract you. It's going to keep you from following me closely like I've got for you. And so this process of considering, of looking back and saying, Lord, what do you have for me? And how do you want to work differently? How do you want to work your life in mine? And so I've got a few scriptures, just a few scriptures here that we're going to look at and try to say, God, what's your perspective on how I look back? What do you have for me? How do you want me to live this year? So the first is Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, 13 says, he who conceals his transgressions, his sins, will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. So I want us to press into this second aspect of the verse here. There's two main ideas But he who confesses and forsakes his transgressions, his sins, he'll find compassion. He'll find mercy, another version says. Well, it's interesting, the idea, the word behind this, you know, this is written in Hebrew originally, and the word that's translated confess here, it actually means to throw. And you may say, now, you know, how do they go from to throw to confess? How does throwing mean confess? How do they get that? But it's interesting, every translation that I looked at several, every single one of them translate this confess. Well, it's because that's the idea. And here's how the Hebrew idea of throw got to confess. It means to cast something off, to chuck it, country mile. That's the idea here, is to cast off sin, to recognize when we're convicted of sin, and every one of us, as followers of Jesus, we're convicted of sin. For those people who don't know Jesus, I remember as a young unbeliever, as the Lord was grabbing hold of me, I began to be convicted of my sin. I began to see that my sin was what it is. Sin, contrary to God's heart. And so the idea here is to take the sins as I'm aware of them in my life, the places in my life that are contrary to his heart. And I don't want us to just be thinking about sin in terms of what I do. Right, I think that's too easy, to be honest. And it's not biblical. Remember, you know, Jesus raised the bar. He said, you know, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. And then what's he do? He doesn't lower the bar. He actually raises the bar. He says, I tell you, if you've looked at a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. I mean, that's a whole other standard. And it's a standard that looks at my motives. It looks at how I think. It's not just what I do. Because sin is not primarily what I do. It's primarily an attitude that's contrary to God, that says, you know, I've got this. And so when the Hebrews started this idea of confessing sin, one of the ways they looked at it was to take my sin, and as I confess it, as I say, this is not right, God, I recognize what you're saying, I'm going to throw it back, not at him, but to him. It's an entrusting myself to his mercy is what it is. That's the picture of confess here, to throw, but it's to cast it off. As you think about your 2017, just like I did, as I was reading this writing here just this past week, this idea of taking stock of my life and saying, Lord, what are the things that you want to nail down in my life from 2017? And specifically here, what are the things that you want me to cast off? And whether it's here again, whether it's overtly sin, whether it's an action or thought or word, or even if it's something that's just not going to get me where I want to be, right? I could justify it and make excuses for it all day long, but if it's not going to get me where he wants me to be, if it's not going to breathe life in me spiritually, then let me cast it off. Let me cast it off. And so that's this Hebrew idea here. So he says, but he who confesses, casts it off and forsakes their transgressions, he'll find compassion. The word forsake here, it's closer to our word forsake. It means to abandon. It means to walk away from entirely. And that's a really, really good, helpful picture. You know, I could confess sin, but not separate myself from it. And so here, what we get is this kind of two-pronged attack. And I say attack, you know, when I was reading that email or website or whatever it was earlier this week, and this person was saying to, you know, kind of to take stock, and then what do I need to cut out? What do I need to cast off? I'm going to tell you, immediately in my heart was the thought, this is a war. I've got to declare war. There are things that if I allow them to stay in my life, they will shut down my faith in Jesus. They'll stop up the life that he wants to keep on doing in me and through me and in you and through you. And I was very aware immediately. And my first thought was, okay, this is going to cost me something. But I don't think the Lord wants us to consider the cost as much as the gain. What do I have to gain? If I cut sin out of my life, if I cut out things that I know, even if they're not overtly sin, if I cut things out of my life that I know are going to hold me back from following him closely, what do I have to gain? You know what I've got to gain? What I'm really after. What you're really after, what I hope you're really after in coming out on a really cold morning is not to be able to, you know, check the box, I went to church this morning. No way. So what I believe God wants us to be after, which is, Lord, I want to want you more than I want any other thing. It's what we've sung. It's how John led us and prayed this morning. It's, God, we want you. We want you to be our very life. We want to depend on you and rest in you more and more. You know, that's what he has for us. That's what he's got for us. So how can I cast off and how can I abandon entirely the things that are going to shut my spiritual life down? As I take stock of 2017, you know, the Lord very quickly, and I mean it was a split second, he put his finger on an area of my life and said, Mike, that's not going to get you where you want to be. Cut it out. Leave it entirely. And closely follow me. So we've got Proverbs 28:13, and now we come to the New Testament in 1 John 1:9. You may be pretty familiar with this verse. It's a fairly oft-quoted verse here in 1 John. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess here is different. This is in the New Testament. It's from the Greek, and this word means to agree with God. It means what God says about my sin, I say the same thing that he does. That's the idea. It's a beautiful idea. So this idea is not just the idea of casting off. It's the idea of saying, God, if you say this is sin in my life, I won't rationalize. I won't justify myself. I won't make excuses. I'm going to agree with you that that's sin, that it's something that's contrary to your heart in my life. I'm going to agree with you. But look what happens when we do that. You know, that sounds hard. It's hard. It can be painful to agree with God. It can be painful to receive conviction. But it's good. It's worth it. Look what happens. He says, when we agree with him and we confess, when we come and don't try to make excuses and do the classic blame shift thing, he says, if we'll come and confess our sins, he says that he's faithful and righteous. Ah. See, when I come confess, if I come holding on to my sin, that faithful and righteous one, he's going to be faithful and righteous to keep turning up the heat. Because he wants to bring me to the end of myself so that I'll look to him. And he wants to bring me to the end of my sin so that I can know the real life that he's got for me. And so we see here in 1 John 1:9, what he says, if I'll confess, he says that he'll be faithful and righteous, not only to forgive my sin, but then he keeps going, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what I really want. I don't want the dirt in my life from 2017 to be carried over into 2018. I want to live a clean life. Now, we got to get this right, though. I don't want to live a clean life because somehow living a clean life can get me into God's good graces. Never. That's a lie from hell. I could never live clean to get God's grace. His grace is only a gift, and it's because Jesus lived a perfect clean life. Because Jesus lived a sinless life and took my sin on the cross. That's the gospel. That's the truth. But because I'm a follower of Jesus, because he has brought me from death to life, I want to live a clean life. The new man in me, the Holy Spirit in me, is saying, Mike, live a clean life. It's what God's got for you. It's where real life is. And so I want to confess my sin, and I want to know his cleansing. Because I want to live a clean life. And I tell you what, when I'm living a clean life, which means I'm confessing sin, and God being faithful and just is forgiving and cleansing, and that cleansing, it's a process. It's not a one-shot deal, right? We're talking about sanctification here. He's already cleansed me from my sin once for all. That's justification. But now I'm in the process of following him by faith. And he wants to keep that cleansing process going. As I come to him, confessing any known sin, and he keeps on forgiving and cleansing moment by moment, day by day. And to what end? Because I want to live a clean life. And I tell you why. Because when I'm living clean, when he is cleansing me, I'm a better husband to my wife. I love her the way she's supposed to be loved when I'm living this way. And I'm a better daddy to my kids. And a better shepherd to God's flock. And a better brother and a better son. That's why I want to live a clean life. That's why I've got to keep going to him and saying, Lord, how do you want me to change how I'm living? Where are you trying to work? And I'm holding you up. Lord, I don't want to hold you up. I want you to have free reign. And so I'm going to confess my sin and let you come in and change me. Because I want to live a clean life. That's the life that he inhabits with power. That's what I want. And I pray that's what you want. That's what we're after today. I got another email from a brother here in the church, and it's this ministry called the Denison Forum. And in this email, the guy was talking about this idea, this Jewish idea. It's called Tashlik. I had never heard of it before. Tashlik is a Hebrew word that we're going to talk about in a minute. When the Jews, even to this day, when Jews celebrate their Jewish New Year, which is in September, they call it Rosh Hashanah. You may have heard of it. You've probably heard that term, Rosh Hashanah. It's the Jewish New Year. And oftentimes when Jews celebrate their New Year, they'll celebrate Tashlik. Tashlik is a different Hebrew word for to throw, for a throwing off, a casting off. It's the same idea that we saw earlier in Proverbs 23, or Proverbs 28. This idea, what they do is they go to a body of water, and you'll see from the scripture in a minute why they go to a body of water. I don't want to get ahead of that. But they go to some body of water. They'll go to a sea or a lake or a pond, even a stream. If they can't find one, literally some will actually put water in a bucket. You got to admire their commitment. And what they'll do is they'll write out their sins from the past year. And sometimes they'll tear them up into little bits and throw them out onto the water. Sometimes they'll write their sins out on a piece of paper, burn it, scatter the ashes into the water. But it's a symbolic casting off. Now here's what's different about this, though. As followers of Jesus, and I'm not trying to pick on Jews here, but Jews who are rejecting Jesus as Messiah, right, they actually can't cast their sin off. I can't cast my sin off. Jesus has taken my sin on himself. I can't make him do that. He did it by an act of his will because he loves me. And why he loves me still doesn't make sense to me. But that's what we have as followers of Jesus. We have a true, pure Messiah who's taken our sin. And so for you and for me, this idea of Tashlik, it holds much more power. Jesus says for me to cast my cares on him because he cares for me. Look, there it is. Cast them on Jesus. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's already taken your sin. And as often as you come to him to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I recognize that this thing in my life, it's not of you. Jesus, this thing that I see that was working to me in 2017, I don't want it to stay in 2018. I want to abandon it entirely. Jesus, I'm casting myself, and I'm casting my sin and my struggle. Lord, I'm casting myself on you. What's really neat is he's full of mercy. That's Jesus. So in this email that I got, this fellow Denison, Jim Denison, I love this idea. He encourages us to have a personal Tashlik sometime early this year. And I like that idea. To have a personal casting. A time, you don't got to go to a body of water. You're going to write it out. But a time when we actually take some time to sit down and think and pray. And maybe you're like me. Maybe the moment you start to think about this, you'll go, oh, I don't have to think far. There was that thing, or there were those things that I sensed the Holy Spirit putting his finger on in my life. And maybe you haven't responded like he wants you to yet. You know, you can see we're going to take the Lord's Supper this morning. What better time? What better time than a morning like this morning to consider, right? To take my 2017 and just lay it out before the Lord and say, Lord, if there's something that you want to work in my life, if there's something that you want me to abandon entirely, Lord, let me cast it on you. It's really, Lord, let me cast myself on you. thank you for being so full of mercy. This verse that we get this idea of Tashlik from, it's Micah 7:19. Micah 7:19 says this, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you, God, you will cast," and there it is, that word cast, it's Tashlik. "You will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." And now you see why the Jews go to a body of water. "You'll cast our sins into a sea of forgetfulness, where you won't hold our sin against us any longer." Well, you and I have a sea of forgetfulness. We have a real personal Tashlik, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. The one, the perfect one, the sinless one who's taken our sin. So what do you want to nail down from 2017? What does God want you to nail down and cast off from 2017? As you look back and take stock, what does he want you to cast into that sea and leave it with him? Remember what the Bible says, that Jesus, when he died on that cross, he didn't die for his own sin, he died for our sin. And even though he's not on the cross anymore, the Bible tells us that he nailed our sin to the cross. And there it remains, paid in full. What does he want you to leave there? Because I bet you're just like me. And there's some things, or maybe one thing in particular, that the Lord wants you to cast off, to bring to him, to confess and find and rest in his forgiveness. If you've never hidden these verses in your heart, I want to encourage you to. Romans 8, 1 and 2. I don't have them up here on the board for you. But Romans 8, 1 and 2. Nothing better for a soul when we're talking about things like this, about dealing with sin and looking honestly at struggles in my life. Romans 8, 1 and 2. "There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." There it is. That's as good as it gets, folks. That's as good as it gets. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're not condemned, because Jesus took that condemnation for you. And so you can rest, and you can find peace, and you can find power to abandon the things that he's shown to your life, the things that you need to turn away from, cast on him. He's also giving us power to abandon those things and to turn to him and entrust ourselves to him. And the way we do is we confess and we be honest. Not only can we receive forgiveness, but we can also give forgiveness. That's what he's got for us as followers of Jesus. If I just receive and don't forgive, I'm like the Dead Sea, right? Doesn't work. So there we go. There's looking back and casting off sin and finding forgiveness. But now let's look forward. Let's look forward. Here we are. We're just completing the first week of 2018, the first Sunday here. We want to look forward and press on in hope. So we're going to look at a few verses quickly here. And as we look at these verses, as we think about taking stock of 2017 and bringing anything we need to the Lord, and now we turn and look forward. We say, "Lord, give us your hope for 2018. Remember, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. A great time to take our hearts before the Lord and find our hope in Jesus and say, "Jesus, I'm remembering that what you did on the cross was for me. And what you did on the cross is sufficient. You've taken my sin out of the way." And if you're anything like me, you really do struggle. There have been times in my life, thankfully they're becoming less and less so, but there have been times in my life when, as a follower of Jesus, I've really struggled to kind of get that last little idea, but it's almost like, well, this is just too good to be true. Because I know some of the depth of my sin, and it's pretty deep. And I know the depravity that I still struggle with. Just this past week, the Lord talking to me about how much my own ego gets in the way of so much that I do. It's not what he's got for me. But according to Romans 8, 1 and 2, I'm not condemned. because I'm in Christ and he took it all. So we can rest there. So let's look forward. Jeremiah 29:11. This is a pretty oft-quoted verse, Jeremiah 29:11, about God's goodwill and future. But let me set the stage for you really quickly about Jeremiah 29:11. Remember Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet. He was a prophet of the nation of Judah who'd been carried off into exile. They were captives in Babylon, right? Because God's people, the Jews at this time, because they'd been disobedient, God let them be taken off into captivity. He disciplined them, not punished. Punished is just pain for pain's sake. This is discipline. The point of discipline is he lets suffering come into their lives to turn their hearts back to God. That's exactly how he deals with his children. Not pain for pain's sake, but to turn us back to God. To declare again, God, I need you. You help me. You save me. You work. And so Jeremiah writes this letters to these captives in Babylon. And this is what he says in his letter. Through Jeremiah, God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." You know what? Right up to that moment, when these captive Jews in Babylon, when they got this letter, I wonder if they were thinking, yeah, he knows the plans for us to crush us. Because they were feeling pretty crushed at the time. And you know what? Your 2017 may have crushed you. After first service, I got to talk with one of our flock here who told me, I already knew a fair amount about it, but just they recounted for me how 2017 had a lot of crushing for them. But God's plan for his people then, and his plan for us now, it's not that. It's not for bad to leave us desolate. He says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope." See, God is saying to those people then, and it's his, and he still has the same heart for his people today. You may be in a hard spot. You may look at 2017 and say, "I am so glad it's over." And maybe you're kind of dreading 2018 a little bit. And God is saying, "No, I've got a plan for you, and my plan is for your good. My plan is for your future, and it's for you to have hope in me," he says. That's where he's going. Proverbs 23:18-19 says this, "Surely there's a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Surely there's a future. Your hope will not be cut off. There's a period in time in my life, long time back, almost 30 years ago, I was a young believer in the Lord, but I'd gotten away from the Lord. And I thought the Lord had put me on a shelf forever. I thought the Lord can never use me. I really did. It's a wrong thought, but that was what I was thinking. And I was reading in my Bible one day, and the Lord brought me to these verses, and he just sunk them into my heart. Surely there's a future. Your hope's not going to be cut off. And then 19, "Now listen, my son, be wise and keep your heart in the way." No matter how you're feeling today, follower of Jesus, Jesus has got a plan for you. And it's for your good, and it's also for his glory through your life. You may say, "Oh, but I've messed up." Well, join the club. I'm the president. It's okay. It's not the point. Everybody's messed up. That's why we need Jesus. And we've got Jesus, and he wants to work in you. And the first thing he wants to do, if you're still struggling with condemnation at all, is to set you free. So welcome him into those places. He's good for it. His plan for you is for good, to give you a future and a hope. And one last verse, Philippians 3. We looked at these verses months back. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. This is the Apostle Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit. This is the Apostle Paul. And he's talking about resurrection. He's talking about when his sin nature is gone and done, finally, utterly. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about being face to face with the Lord and no sin chipping him up. And this is what he says. He says, "Not that I've already obtained it, this resurrection, or that I've already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ." And in other words, he's saying, I want to be used by God. And I'm not perfect, he's saying. Jesus is perfect for us. He says, but I'm going to press on. He goes on, he says in verse 13, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." You know what? No matter whether it was good or evil, you know what? As you think of 2017, guess what? It's behind you. It's in your past. Learn from it. If there's something Jesus wants you to bring to him and confess, do it. But forget it. Let it go. Leave it where it is in the past. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what that is? That's hope. That's hope. That's Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit, resting himself, his not perfect self. He's resting in the Lord because he wants God to win in him and he wants God to win through him. He wants to be used by God. And so he's got hope. He's hoping in the Lord. He's got hope for his future, and he's cast off his past, good, bad, or ugly. He said, the past, I'm turning away from that. So I'm going to have the men. Brothers, would you come on down as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper together? And as they come down, I want to give you one more scripture. It's not up on the screen here, but this is from Lamentations. And I'm guessing not too many of us have had too many morning devotional times in Lamentations recently. Lamentations is good, I'm going to tell you. There's some good stuff there. This is written by the prophet Jeremiah. Again, same guy that wrote Jeremiah. And in Lamentations, again, remember what's going on here. Lamentations. Lamentation means lamenting, weeping. Remember, God's people are in captivity here. Right? Judah has been taken off into Babylon. They're in captivity because God wants them to simply confess their sin and turn their hearts back to him. That's what he's after. But they're mourning. They're hurting. And this is what he says. He says, remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. So he's remembering and he's calling the people to remember. He says, surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. But that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be brought low as we recognize our struggles with sin and to welcome Jesus into those places. That's a good thing. It's a hard place to stay for a long time, but it's a good thing. But he doesn't stay there. Then he says, this I recall to my mind. This is Lamentations 3:21. He says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses, his loyal love. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning and they're new every year. Don't you let 2017 trip up your 2018 from following Jesus close. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him.